You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Why is Sandy Alderson still here and making decisions? And why is there a split on keeping Aaron Boone in the Yankees front office? 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Carlin and you, baby, over the next hour. A lot to get in between now and game one of the Rays and the Red Sox. I'm not going to say that a whole lot because I know it's still angering, but game one is coming up at the top of the hour with the great Dan Shulman on the call right here on 98.7 ESPN Radio. On Twitter, it's at Chris Carlin. Of course, Instagram and on TikTok, it's That Guy Carlin. My friends, there are four or five different things I want to get to. So we're going to put them all out there right now and get you involved. I would suggest you hit the open lines right now while you can at 800-919-3776. Number one, in case you missed it, most of the Mets baseball staff has been allowed to go and search for other jobs. They're either reassigned to the minor leagues like the hitting coaches. Jeremy Hefner is expected to stay with the organization in some capacity. And I just have one question. Why are decisions being made right now by Sandy Alderson? It was actually great news yesterday that Theo Epstein and Steve Cohen do not believe that this is a good fit for him. I am sure that a big part of it was Theo wanting a chunk of ownership, as small as it would be. I'm sure Steve Cohen didn't really want to give that up. But this is a much better situation for the Mets to not get him because I'm telling you, I just have a bad feeling that there is more coming on Theo Epstein hiring Jared Porter and looking the other way on all of the sexual harassment claims that were out there in Chicago. And frankly, who wants that story to drop a few days after he gets hired? The answer is nobody. And I don't trust that situation. I really don't. There's no arguing what Theo Epstein has done for his entire career as a baseball executive. But when you have all of that kind of stuff hanging over your head right now and you can go other ways, why wouldn't you do that? Which leads me to problem number two. And that is Sandy Alderson and his continued presence here. As Michael referenced a few minutes ago, it was in Joel Sherman's column today about Sandy still hanging out, and one of his concerns is making sure that his son, who's an assistant GM, Bryn Alderson, is taken care of in this situation with the Mets, that he still has a job. What are we doing? Why is that something? Have we just not paid attention to what has happened on Sandy's watch? This really, truly is the new Isaiah Thomas. Now, he didn't do any of the harassing himself, but he certainly didn't do a good enough job checking out the people who were doing it. And the Mets' record under Sandy has not been great. And since he's been back, the whole situation has been worse. I don't care if he is supposed to be here because that's the deal that Steve Cohen made with Major League Baseball to get the team, and he's supposed to be here for a certain amount of time. Let him be here. Let him be on the payroll, get in the back office, sit there, and watch some soap operas. Okay? Enough. Enough. The decisions that have been made have been bad ones. They haven't worked for the most part, yet we all still act, meaning he and everybody around, as if he's the smartest guy in the room. I think he's an incredibly smart guy. But that doesn't mean his decisions have worked. And you need to address that. When the decisions haven't worked, you stop listening. And I don't know why he's making decisions on staff or any of that stuff. I hope it's Billy Beane. I don't believe for a minute that Billy Beane comes here and is a puppet for Sandy Alderson. That's not why Billy Beane would leave and come here, okay? He hasn't been the guy that's been in charge of baseball for the A's for a bit. He's been running the overall show. He hasn't been the GM in a bit. But this is somebody that knows how to build an organization. And I don't believe he will turn into Glenn Sather with the Rangers, where he didn't have money to work with for the longest time, but when he finally gets it, he spends it poorly. That won't happen with Billy Beane. He will turn this team, turn this organization into a long-term success. And that's what you're looking for right now. 800-919-3776. Next, I hear about stubbornness in the Yankee front office. Are we serious? Michael's talking about this earlier today, that many of the analytics folks in the Yankee front office are notoriously stubborn. They don't change their ways. They don't want to get into why they're wrong. They just believe that the way they do things, it'll eventually work. And once we get to the postseason, well, the analytics are not built for a couple of games here and there. They're built over the long term. Baseball is not played inside of a bell curve. Let's be clear about that. Being stubborn, hearing that gets me angry, because that is saying to me that you don't want to acknowledge that you're wrong about something. And I'll give Brian Cashman credit for this. In the middle of the year, he at least acknowledged the whole, all we need are the best hitters, not righties and lefties, not a balanced lineup. We can play and win with all righties. That went out the window when he went out and traded for a couple of lefties because the lineup was as unbalanced as it was. The problem is he traded for a left-handed version of all of the all-or-nothing hitters that he had in Joey Gallo. Anthony Rizzo's a good player. Wasn't going to be enough to put them over the top here. This was not just about analytics, guys. This was about your team doing the same thing that they have done when they have had failures in the postseason over the last several years. They haven't hit, and they didn't hit. I told you the other night they needed to score 5 runs. They didn't hit. Stop telling me about what happens over 162. If Aaron Boone's such a bad manager, why is he averaging 98 wins a season? Explain that. What happens over the course of an entire year doesn't matter anymore. It matters to the point that you have to have some urgency. But maybe you could go in and start working on an algorithm that works in the short term, that tells you actually how to win a playoff. Because if numbers are exactly the answer for everything, then that would logically tell me you could find numbers to tell you how to handle your team in a short series. Hopefully they don't include going with an opener and then backing him up with a pitcher who's been a starter his entire life. Get to work enough with the stubborn and fix your problems. And then lastly, people in the front office are split on keeping Aaron Boone. Guys, Aaron Boone, as much as you want to knock him, I understand the temptation to do it. He's doing what he's told to do. Michael has said this numerous times. It's 100% accurate. It's hypocritical if you fire Aaron Boone, because that is saying that what you are doing is wrong, but you're just tossing a fall guy out there. You're just shedding some blood to make some people feel better. And for the fans that look at this and say that it's Aaron Boone's fault, guys, Aaron Boone didn't go out there and stink the other night like Gerrit Cole did. Aaron Boone isn't going to the plate and striking out a ton and swinging at a ton of first pitches and putting his team in a bad situation. Down a couple of runs, Aaron Boone's not coming off the bench and swinging at the first pitch. That's not what's going on. So stop blaming the manager. You may not love the fact that he is very even-keeled in his approach, but understand that actually works better nowadays. I'm not going to tell you he's the greatest manager in the world, but he's not the problem. The construction of the team is a problem. And that has to change dramatically. And if you're looking at the manager as the problem, you don't know baseball. Let's not waste any time. ALDS, top of the hour. We begin with Pete in Jersey City. Pete, what's going on, dude? You're starting us off on 98.7 ESPN tonight.
Hey, man, thanks. I just wanted to address what you were saying about, you know, them being stubborn, the front office for the Yankees being stubborn. You know, I think, you know, a little stubbornness, you know, everyone says it's not working, and I get it. They didn't win the title and all that. But I think it would be foolish just to rip down the whole system.
Oh, I'm not ripping the whole thing down. This is not a teardown. I mean, don't get me wrong, but there are things that have to change.
I agree. I mean, you know, the defense has got to tighten up. But, you know, I think the way to, you know, they didn't work out this year, but you need more pitching. You know, everyone's talking about the ALCS when they lost to the Astros, that cheating team, which was, you know, who knows what happens if you know, the Astros don't know what pitch is coming. Then the year after, I get it, was another disappointment. It's all disappointing, but, you know, to say it's not like they won 75 games. So you build around a little bit, you get a tight up defense at short. You know, who knows, you get another hitter. I think that's it. You know, you got to figure out catcher.
Pete, there is such a thing, yeah. Pete, as building a team for the regular season, but not the postseason. And that feels like what this looks like.
Hey, that's why I said they need another pitcher. I agree there. You know, you get another pitcher, a hitter for average, and I think you're right there, man. You know, you stay healthy if possible. You know, yeah, I don't think they're that
there
far
are a
off,
few
man,
things
that,
here, Pete,
you know,
and thanks for the call, that you need to really take out of the equation. Gary Sanchez has to go. He cannot suck the life out of this team like he does. Because so often, we talk about this guy. And most of the time, it's negatively. Because the defense is not good. Because the offense is so sporadic. Where is the true payoff? Whatever happened to actually wanting to have a consistent player and not having to consistently discuss how bad Gary Sanchez is in spots. Greg in Stratford, Connecticut. Greg, what's going on?
Chris, Sandy is the answer. Billy, I'm going
to
back
what?
On the mess. I'm sorry. To 2015, he's going to do it again. But if you hire Billy Beane, he's going to be he's going to be sleeping like Phil was in the stands.
What are you talking about?
Well, Sandy's going to be around, right?
Well, he's going to be Hello? President of the team and supposedly not involved in baseball operations. Supposedly.
Well, he should be.
What?
He should be the head.
Where are you getting this? Why should that be the
case? I'm getting it from 2015 when we went to the World Series.
That's 6 years ago. 6 years ago. You realize that.
Okay, but who was involved in getting us there?
Yoenis Cespedes.
Who was there?
Yeah. But listen, Sandy did. He had one great run under Sandy in 2015.
Yes.
And 2016, you're out in the wild card. That's it. And that's 6 years ago. Thanks for the call. Billy Beane is not 75 years old. He's 60. Come on. What are we even discussing if you're going to start bringing up 2015? How long ago is that? Oh, 6 years. Eli, Washingtonville, next, 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Chris, how's it going? Listen, I've been simmering over this Yankee loss for like a couple of days. And I've called your show, I called Gordon Damon's show, I called almost every show on on ESPN Radio. And I've said, and I repeatedly said that Brian Cashman needs to go. Even though, even in the 13-game winning streak, that was fool's gold. This little playoff, run was fool's gold. The guy did not know how to build a playoff team. He won in 2009 just because he bought his way into a championship, signing CC and all these other guys, and he had the core four. But in every season after that, he tricks Yankee fans by giving a show during the regular season, and then in the playoffs, their true colors come out. Now, this guy never constructed a good pitching staff. You tell me the last pitcher that we developed that's good.
I can't. I mean, there aren't many. I mean, you talk about Severino. Do you consider him?
Yeah, who? He's hurt.
And that's another. He's always hurt. I agree.
Hicks, constantly hurt. Ellsbury, another hurt freak. This guy, I'm telling you, I don't know how. It grinds my gears when I hear Buster Olney and all these other guys praise how good of a GM Brian Cashman is when he has an unlimited payroll, and yet he's not the smartest guy in the room when it comes to analytics. And the Rays are doing wonders with a $60 million payroll.
Yep.
This is insane.
Look, Brian's not going anywhere, and thanks for the call. I don't believe he's a bad GM. I believe there is a time and a place for change when it's been 23 years and you've got one championship in 20 years. But that's not changing. There has to be a level of acceptance among all of us that he's not going anywhere right now. He's not. Buster doesn't just throw stuff out there. He understands and he knows. Listen to Buster earlier today on with Michael and the boys.
Yeah, that's mine too, his relationship with the Steinbrenner family, the trust that he has there. And I believe that Hal Steinbrenner's belief in Brian Cashman is similar to what George's belief was in the former general manager and the late Gene Michael, in that George believed that no matter what happened, Gene Michael would do what was right for the Yankees organization. And I think Hal has that belief in Brian. Here's the other thing, too. As we talk about the Mets situation, you can bet that if Brian Cashman were to be let go as the Yankees general manager in sometime in the next couple weeks, he might be offered a job with the Mets within 0.2 seconds. He would be the perfect solution for the Mets in terms of what Steve Cohen needs, the general manager, head of baseball operations, someone of stature, big market experience. He would check every box for what the Mets need. And I've had other people with other teams, you know, listen to the discourse around what's going on with the Yankees, and they laugh at the idea that Brian would be someone that you'd want to fire right now.
But this is the point, right? That's not happening. But if he did go to the Mets, it would be a much different situation that would be ideal. This is talking about changing the dynamic. It is not change for change's sake. It's sometimes it can be too long in one place. And there is, whether or not the Yankees want to acknowledge it anymore, which they don't, the fans have an expectation. And you're not delivering on that right now. So while he would get hired in a minute, it doesn't mean that he's the right fit here anymore. That's the biggest thing to remember. But doesn't matter. Not going anywhere because of what Buster's talking about. The relationship that he has with the Steinbrenners. Not happening, guys. Not happening. What you don't want to hear about is stubbornness. What I want to hear about is how they're going to adjust and change things that need to be changed. Changing the catching situation. Changing the left side of the infield. Figuring out what they can do with a guy that I even forgot was on the team in Aaron Hicks. What a disaster he is. There are so many parts of this, improving the starting pitching. About the only thing they have right now is the bullpen. Aaron Judge they have right. Stanton hit later in the year. They won their 90-some games. That's all terrific. And your numbers can play out over that stretch. The Rays scored 145 more runs than you did. And they did it by paying their people a third of what you're paying. Now, if I was Hal, that would aggravate me. That would put me over the top.
It's Carlin. That's me. On 98.7 ESPN.
Keep rolling. They're busy. Mo in Brooklyn next. 98.7 ESPN. Mo, what's going on?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
What do you got?
I want to speak about Aaron Boone. I think him and the Yankees as a whole, I think Boone should be gone. I think he's a great guy. I think he deserves another chance as a manager. I just don't see him as a fit in New York with analytics. I think the Yankees should be moving away from analytics. We got rid of Girardi. He got us a game 7 of the ALCS against a team that we now know is cheating without any analytics. Our best pass is without analytics. And I think we should turn around the analytic department and say, you're out of here, and go back to our old ways. It's ridiculous how we're losing these raids because we're trying to do what they're doing, but they do it 10 times better than us. Can't beat them at that game.
It's very hard to beat them at that game, but you have to figure out how to get better and not just sit there and say, didn't go our way this year. You know, this has got to look different. You have to, when things aren't working for a consistent amount of time, you have to figure out a way to get better, don't you?
I mean, yeah, but our best way to win is by not using analytics. I'm very against it.
Listen, by ignoring them altogether, that's stupid because it doesn't give you all of the information that you need. And look, when we talk about analytics, Mo, we're not just talking about like what somebody's WAR is. It's been going on forever that in baseball they've used numbers and matchups and such. And thanks for the call. That's always been the case. They have always used those kinds of things to help just determine, for instance, what reliever they should bring in to face what batter. If you think about it, that's analytics too. But it can't rule the day. It's got to be a factor, not the decision maker. Drew is in Keyport, New Jersey. Drew, what's up, baby? Drew. That sucks. Steve on the car phone is next, 98.7 ESPN. Steve, go.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Who am I speaking to?
That would be Chris, Steve. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Chris.
What can I help you with?
I have a question. I have a problem with the way they're handling this. Because since 2011, 2010, the main problem with the Yankee offense was men on base. And it's been close to 11 years. It still seems to be the problem. I mean, it's the people they're bringing in. So where do I blame that? We're not bringing them in. The fans are not voting them in. They're being brought in by Cashman. That's why Cashman has to look in the mirror and say, this ain't for me anymore, man. He could go to the store. He's Richie Rich and buy all the heavy hitters he can buy. But he could never put three guys or four guys together on a lineup that you saw Tampa Bay. If you went from nine down, they would be better than the Yankees from one up.
Oh, sure. Look, well, not completely, but it's a deeper lineup. There's no getting around that.
Of course it's a deeper lineup because there are guys that are willing to win. The Yankees, we have a manager.
What does that mean, willing to win? Steve, what does it mean, willing to win?
Willing to win means win games in clutch situations. You can't win every game. The 15-game hot streak that we had was because the guys wanted it more than they were able to give. They burned
out.
Thanks
for the call, Steve.
They burned
out. That's garbage. That's utter and complete garbage. The guys wanted it more. I mean, come on. Wanted it more doesn't allow you to hit a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. Wanted it more does not allow you to just hit an absolute bomb on a fall-off-the-table curveball. Wanted it more doesn't allow you to strike out the game's best hitters. Stop with wanted it more. Dear God. Matt in Jersey is next. Matt.
Hey, Chris, I got 2 points to make. Real quick, the first one, the Yankees are kind of using analytics wrong. They say that the slider is the hardest pitch to hit, so they bring in guys and have them throwing 50% sliders, and every single one of these guys, Severino, they all blow their arms out. They're using analytics wrong. But aside from that, the biggest problem with the Yankees and the biggest reason you have to get rid of Brian Cashman, if you look at the last 20 years, the Yankees have two guys who were first-round picks on this roster, Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole, who spurned you, and you had to pay him a fortune to come back. This team has not been able to put together a roster in a traditional way. They've had to outspend year after year to overcome the lack of depth that they get in the draft, and that would be the biggest reason to move on from Cashman and to move on from the analytics team, because this team hasn't put together a complete roster.
Okay, I'm not going to disagree with developing players, but can we at least admit that when you got the core four, that it was exceptionally fortunate to have them all come into their own together?
Absolutely, and the fact that they were Hall of Fame caliber players doesn't hurt, but at the same time, they put complementary pieces around them. O'Neill wasn't a superstar, but O'Neill was a top five right fielder year in, year out. That's what this team is missing, is they're just not building the right way. And if you're not going to do it through the draft, that's when you have players who are cheap and you can supplement them with free agents around them and the free agents that you want around them. Now you're chasing, you're trying to get players at the trade deadline that might not be the greatest fit, and you're basically trying to build, not complimentary, you're building your roster.
All of what you're saying is accurate. All of what you're saying is accurate, Matt. Thanks for the call. But, all right, they believe in a couple of the big-time prospects they have at shortstop coming up. Okay, so they're not terribly close, from my understanding. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I study the minor leagues, but they're not terribly close, and they haven't had those guys. Totally agree about that. Totally agree. The Yankees had that success. Yes, they had the core four, and they developed these guys, and they didn't trade them away, but they also... Let's face it, there's luck involved there of getting the four of them at once. And when you were able to go and spend money elsewhere because you had all of them, well, that allowed them to be great and get to that next level. Ricardo, que pasa?
Chris, how Steinbrenner must mostly be angry that they didn't get one home game postseason. That must really, really get him angry.
I'm sure he's not thrilled about it, but I don't really see where much is changing. That's my problem. How angry can
money
he be
if
you're not changing
one
anything?
Home game to play off against Boston at home, and then they would have had possibly two in New York, three home games. That's a lot of money that would have went the Yankees' way.
Sure.
Boone going anywhere, because he does everything but except win. That's it. And the other things are probably just as important. Represents the team, doesn't get in any trouble, handles the media well, handles his team well, all the other except win enough. and I don't think that's top priority.
And they win enough during the regular season. They just treat it as if the postseason is just a crapshoot.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, they keep it interesting. The Yankees were very interesting this year. Chris, there was one point where they were a 5% chance of getting into the playoffs. And look what, I mean, I was certainly interested. They held my attention. Every game to me was like a playoff game. And we had a lot to talk about, a lot to argue about, a lot to question. And I'm sure this is great for Steinbrenner family. Chris, one more thing I was thinking about. I remembered the 62 playoff series, the Dodgers and the Giants. They both finished tied. And what they did was they had a 3-game playoff. And I'm sure that was the only time they ever met in the postseason. Now, it's funny, that year they had to play 165 games. How else can they do it? So if you ever look at the statistics in 62, you see the Giants and the Dodgers played 165 ball games. All those records in the playoff counted for the regular season, because how else can they do it? Mm-hmm. The winner of the National League went right to the World Series.
Yep.
So there were no postseason statistics back then except for the World Series, and they couldn't include those in the World Series. So those were regular season games. So that'll never, ever happen again where two teams actually played 165 games. Think of all the Hall of Famers in that, you know, Drysdale, Koufax, Marichal,
amazing, amazing list, Richard. Absolutely amazing. And thanks for the call. They honestly look. I'm looking forward to watching that series. I think it's going to be excellent. I really think it's going to be excellent. I think the Dodgers will come out on top, but I'll be surprised if it's not a great series. It's just this whole situation now is just aggravating because of the stubbornness that I hear about. Let's roll. As many as we can get in. 800-919-3776. Greg Fairhaven is next. 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Greg, what's going on tonight, bud?
Hey, Chris. I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm losing my mind with all these other Yankee fans. They're all blaming analytics. Half of them can't even spell the word. The problem is we have guys who are just underachieving. The year before Stanton comes here, he hits 59 home runs. 3 years ago, everyone loved Glaber. They think he's the best, better than Judge. Everyone loved Gary Sanchez. From a general manager's perspective, what are you going to do? I mean, he has the foresight to see none of these guys are going to work out. I mean, Gerrit Cole's one of the top three pitchers in the game. Then the spider tack stuff happens, and he's not the same guy.
So that, wait a minute. Back up a second, though, on that one. That's not on the Yankees to know that he was using spider tack at some point?
I don't know. I mean,
I'm sorry. That one I'm not going to let go. I'm not letting that go. You pay attention to what's going on, okay? You pay attention to what's going on, and you understand what your players and your pitchers are doing. That one I'm not letting go.
I don't disagree with you, but I guess how are you supposed to know they're going to start imposing the rules?
Yeah, but look, that's fine, but he's obviously been doing it for a while. And then secondly, you know, going back to some of the guys he talked about, Stanton was a ridiculous overreaction to not getting Shohei Ohtani. That's what it was. And it was a panic move. There's no getting around it. It was absolutely a panic move, and it was taking a problem away from the Marlins, who had made a very, very questionable investment from somebody who, by the way, even though he hit those 59 home runs and won the MVP, he had also been hurt plenty down in Florida, too.
Yes, but it was a contract that we could absorb and the Marlins couldn't.
Well, here's what I know. You got 6 years and $189 million left on it, Greg. Thanks for the call. And you're right when you say people just blindly blame analytics. They're not doing it well enough. Gary Sanchez is still here because they have blindly held on to him, expecting him to just be somebody that he's not. He is going to hit home runs. He is a bad defensive player. Don't tell me about framing at the bottom of the strike zone, because while that's improved, because you have him down on one knee, he can't block the ball effectively. So that's gotten worse. Owen in Newark, New Jersey is next. Owen, what's going on?
Hey, Carlin, man, I want to just say great show, man. Great show.
Thank you.
Listen, I just want to echo what the young man just said. I totally agree. I think we, you know, look too much at the logistics and the analytics and this whole thing. At the end of the day, it was just underproductive. I just think that these ball players just didn't achieve like they were supposed to. As far as Derek Cole's concerned, he made a comment in terms of the sticky stuff. Well, two or three of those starts that he had, he did still strike out 12 people. So to that point, I still think, I don't know if it was about the sticky stuff or not. It's just that he just underperformed as well. Do you agree?
I think that it all played a role. I don't think it's all the sticky stuff because he did pitch a couple of brilliant games. What I did see, maybe it had something to do with his hamstring. All I know is, and he didn't make that excuse, I'll give him credit for that. All I know is over the last month of the season, the guy was terrible.
He
had an ERA north of 6.
That was one of my main concerns as well going into the game. I said, if he gives them home runs early, and I thought that at the end of the day, I didn't like my lineup, too. I didn't think that lineup was strong after the fourth. First of all, Gallo, too.
No, look, the lineup the other night was not great because the top part of it did not produce. Thanks for the call. The bottom part, they tried to give Cole his best defensive lineup that they could, and that ended up not mattering in the least. Because guess what? Defense doesn't matter when the ball gets hit over the fence. Gabe at Long Beach is next. Gabe.
Hey there, Chris. I just wanted to compliment you on your opening monologue yesterday, among the other points you made about the Yankees perpetrating a fraud for the past 4 years. I agree with you 100%. I'm so glad that they lost because if they had made it to the next round, they would have gotten beat, but they would have said, oh, we were so close, we just made it. Well, now the curtain has been pulled away from the Wizard of Oz. The problem is the
Wizard going to change anything? Is the Wizard going to fix anything?
That's what I was going to ask you.
That's the problem.
Do you think Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner are humble enough to admit that they need to change what they're doing? Because the statistics that they're analyzing, they're coming up with the wrong strategy. The spotting rotation on opening day was a joke. Brian, it was high risk, high reward. That didn't work at all. I don't know what we're going to use for rotation next year after Colin Severino. Jordan Montgomery is going to be a number five starter no matter what. When he's good, he can't go past five innings. When he's bad, he can't go past five innings. They had no length in their starters.
Gabe, what people don't really pay attention to, thanks for the call, is that they handed $11 million to Corey Kluber, and that was a complete waste of money. And we knew it at the time for somebody that hadn't pitched in 2 years. That was just dumb. Just dumb. It's nice. I keep seeing the highlights of his no-hitter. That was cool. Remember that? Jack in Manhattan. Next, 98.7 ESPN. Jack.
Hey, Jack. Chris, thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
Hi. So I want to go back to Garrett Cole. I understand he's the ace, he's a $324 million man. I'm not against him by any means. But if he wasn't 100% healthy, and we saw in his last four or five starts what him not healthy is, do you think Aaron Boone made the wrong move? I mean, it's 20-20 hindsight now, but knowing that he's not 100% healthy and seeing what he did, I don't know if that was, I mean, now I know wasn't the right move, but we should have been looking more into that.
Well, like, Jack, we don't know if he was or he wasn't. They're not going to tell us that. That's clear. So, obviously, the better move would have been to have rested him a little bit more if that turned out to be the problem. Thanks for the call. We just don't know for sure if it was or it wasn't. Or, for that matter, if Cole was honest with the Yankees about the injury. Al in New Jersey. Next, Al, got about 20 seconds, bud.
Chris, you was hitting it on the out of the park with the word stubborn, and I'm just going to describe how it actually matters. Everybody's out yankeeing the Yankees. If you remember the 2009 Yankees, they weren't just big boppers. They hit for average. They got on base. They could do multiple things, switch hit. If you put the shift on for that team, they probably still be batting today. The fact that batters are coming up today, seeing the shift, lineup that's heavy with right-handed hitters year after year, then you're
Al, it's all true. It's all true. Thanks for the call. I got to let you go because we're up against it. But it's all true. It is stubborn. And I don't understand why you can't look at a situation and acknowledge it's not working. It's not working to the level that you expect it to. So if that continues to be the case and you don't want to change it, it's on you, bro.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.